Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. What Went Wrong with Capitalism by Fahair Al-Kaissi is a critical, reader-friendly exploration of why an economic system built to generate wealth and opportunity so often produces frustration, instability, and widening inequality. Rather than treating capitalism as either a perfect engine of progress or a single villain behind every social problem, the book frames today's tensions as the result of specific design choices, incentives, and policy decisions that have accumulated over time. It surveys how markets can deliver innovation and efficiency while also amplifying power imbalances when rules, information, and bargaining strengths are uneven. In accessible language, it connects everyday experiences such as stagnant wages, higher living costs, job insecurity, and debt pressure to broader structural forces. The book also invites readers to think about reforms that preserve competition and entrepreneurship while reducing harmful outcomes. For anyone trying to make sense of headlines about recessions, corporate concentration, or the affordability crisis, this is a timely guide to the system's trade-offs and its potential course corrections. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, incentives that drift away from broad prosperity. A central theme is that capitalism depends on incentives, and when incentives are misaligned, the system can reward outcomes that do not translate into shared gains. The book highlights how profit motives can encourage cost-cutting, short-term metrics, and aggressive pricing strategies that may boost quarterly results while weakening long-run resilience. In practice, this shows up when firms prioritize shareholder returns over investment in workers, training, product quality, or community stability. Over time, that shift can widen the distance between overall economic growth and the lived reality of households whose purchasing power does not keep pace. The topic also touches on how financial markets and executive compensation can intensify short-term decision-making, making it harder for businesses to justify patient investment even when it would raise productivity. Readers are guided to see capitalism not as a single fixed mechanism, but as a set of rules and feedback loops. If the rules reward rent-seeking over value creation, the system can drift toward outcomes that feel unfair or fragile, even if the headline numbers look strong. Secondly, inequality, bargaining power, and the wage disconnect. The book emphasizes that inequality is not only about differences in talent or effort, but also about bargaining power across labor and capital. When workers have limited negotiating leverage, wages can lag behind productivity, and the economic pie can grow without a proportional rise in typical household income. This topic connects wage stagnation to broader trends such as weakened collective bargaining, the rise of insecure work arrangements, and global competition that puts pressure on labor costs. It also considers how unequal access to education, networks, and capital can compound over generations, making it difficult for people to move upward even when they work hard. Another dimension is geographic and sector inequality, where prosperous regions attract investment and opportunity, while other communities see declining job quality and public services. By framing inequality as an outcome shaped by institutions and policy, the discussion encourages readers to think beyond personal finance advice. It asks what kinds of labor standards, competition policy, and social supports might restore balance so that economic growth more reliably improves the median person's quality of life. Thirdly, financialization and the growth of debt. Driven living, another important topic, is the expanding role of finance in everyday life and in corporate strategy. The book points to how easy credit can temporarily sustain consumption even when wages lag, but it can also create vulnerability when interest rates rise or shocks occur. Household debt, student loans, and housing finance can turn essential life goals into long-term repayment burdens, limiting mobility and increasing stress. On the corporate side, financialization can push firms toward balance sheet engineering, mergers, and complex financial products rather than investment in capacity, research, or workforce development. This can contribute to instability because profits become tied to market cycles and leverage, not only to producing goods and services. The topic helps readers interpret why crises can spread quickly through interconnected financial systems, and why recoveries often benefit asset owners first. It also raises questions about regulation, consumer protection, and the trade-offs between credit availability and systemic risk. The overall point is that when finance becomes the dominant channel for growth, the economy can feel like it serves money flows more than human needs. Fourthly, market concentration, monopolistic behavior, and fewer real choices. The book discusses how capitalism relies on competition, yet many modern markets show rising concentration, where a small number of firms dominate key sectors. When competition weakens, businesses gain more pricing power, more control over supply chains, and greater influence over labor conditions. Consumers may see fewer meaningful choices, more fees, and product ecosystems designed to lock them in. workers can face limited local options, suppressing wage growth because switching employers becomes harder. This topic also considers how data, platforms, and network effects can create winner. Take most dynamics, allowing large firms to scale quickly and defend their position. The result can be innovation that serves market dominance rather than customer value, alongside higher barriers for small businesses and startups. The discussion encourages readers to view antitrust and pro-competition policies as quality of life issues, not just technical legal debates. Restoring competitive pressure can improve affordability, raise service quality, and create room for new entrants. The book frames concentration as a key reason. Capitalism can feel rigged because the system works best when power is dispersed and rules prevent dominance from becoming permanent. Lastly, policy, regulation, and practical paths to repair, rather than ending with critique alone, the book treats capitalism as adaptable, arguing that outcomes depend on governance, enforcement, and social priorities. This topic focuses on how policy can correct failures such as externalities, information asymmetry, and unequal bargaining power. It explores the idea that regulation is not automatically anti-market, but can be pro-market when it protects fair competition, transparency, and safety. Examples include oversight of financial risk, labor protections that stabilize incomes, and consumer rules that reduce predatory practices. The topic also points to the role of taxation and public investment in education, infrastructure, and research, which can raise productivity and broaden opportunity. At the same time, it acknowledges that reforms involve trade-offs and political constraints, and that poorly designed policies can create inefficiency or unintended consequences. The value here is a framework for evaluating reforms. Do they encourage value creation, reduce rent-seeking, and spread gains more widely? Readers are left with a constructive lens for thinking about what to fix, how to measure success, and how capitalism can be reshaped to serve broader prosperity. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, big-picture explanation of why capitalism can produce both innovation and widespread dissatisfaction. It will appeal to students, early career professionals, small business owners, and general readers who follow economic news, but want a more coherent story that links personal pressures such as rent, debt, and job insecurity to system-level incentives. The benefit is practical. It helps you interpret policy debates, understand why certain outcomes repeat across decades, and identify which reforms target root causes rather than symptoms. By emphasizing incentives, bargaining power, market concentration, and financialization, the book offers a framework you can use to evaluate claims from across the political spectrum. Compared to similar books that focus narrowly on inequality, finance, or corporate behavior, this one is worth buying because it aims to connect multiple moving parts into a single diagnosis and then points toward realistic repair strategies. It does not require specialized background, yet it encourages sharper thinking about what makes markets work and what makes them fail. If you want to move from frustration to informed judgment, this book provides a solid starting point. If you would like to support Faher Al-Kaisi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.